how close are we to actually selling more beef to the European Union? We're going to talk about that with an economist with the U.S. Meat Export Federation. That's coming up next. Stay with us on AOA, Adams on Agriculture. Well, we keep hearing that the EU might actually open up, be willing to open up their market to more U.S. beef. How close are we to that really happening, especially considering the long-standing disagreements we've had with the EU and the barriers that have been put up by the EU to U.S. beef, hormones and things like that have been huge issues. Let's talk now with Aaron Bohr, a U.S. Meat Export Federation economist. Aaron, thanks for joining us. How optimistic should we be from these headlines that the EU may be willing to open up to more U.S. beef? Are we close or not?
Yes, I would say it's been, as you hinted, a very long history, we'll say, with the EU, but there are a lot of confusing details, but essentially what's in the process right now is providing the U.S. More access under an existing quota, which is the duty-free high-quality beef quota for 45,000 metric tons, which we share with other supplying countries who meet the definition, and Europe has approved to ship under this quota. The quota was established with an agreement between the U.S. and the EU coming out of the hormones case, which we won in the WTO decades ago. So the problem is that the quota has been heavily utilized and fully utilized with huge growth from the other supplying countries, mostly Uruguay, Australia, and Argentina. And given the popularity or the fast use of the quota, we're in a situation where U.S. beef cannot grow and we can't meet our customers' demands. And we're actually seeing a shrinking share of U.S. beef accounting for the quota use. And so it's not a tenable situation. And the U.S. government's been engaged with the European Commission on reaching a solution or kind of a next step in our memorandum of understanding. And the commission took the necessary step on their side at the start of this month. So as the commission got back to business in the very beginning of September, they asked the European Council for a mandate, which is what needs to happen next for formal negotiations with the U.S. so that a solution can be reached. So there are several remaining steps, but we are very optimistic that the move was taken at the beginning of September, and so kind of as quickly as it could have after the Juncker-Trump agreement in late July, and realizing that Europe is pretty much out of business in August on holidays. So we'll take that quick action, in a sense, as a positive. And now there are a few steps remaining, and of course timelines are impossible, but we remain optimistic that this final agreement can be reached so that U.S. beef can again work to meet the customer's demand in Europe, which is tremendous. If we weren't being squeezed out, we know that business could grow from the current level of around $200 million to, say, easily doubling that.
So there's great potential there, which is good news. Now, sometimes these headlines get misleading, and we hear a statement, and it sounds everyone gets excited. All right, we're going to start sending more U.S. beef to the EU. But as you point out, while it's a positive signal, these other steps have to be taken first, so it's going to take a little while to work through all that.
Right, exactly. And there are several remaining steps which should be accomplishable, given continued goodwill on all sides to move the process forward. And I think another point that their Ag Commissioner, Phil Hogan, made in the European statement was that, you know, this is still hormone-free beef, or as we know in the U.S., NHTC beef. And so it's carving out our share of the quota, which was established because we won our WTO case. So in the eyes of a U.S. producer, it's, you know, sort of making the deal right. But it is, of course, more complex than that, given WTO rules and everything that has to be done to meet those obligations. But another more nuanced point that is important for the cow-calf producer is that once we have this share of the quota guaranteed for the U.S., producer, then that provides a bigger market in the EU and more certainty for your NHTC cattle. And at the same time, if we can see the tariffs in China on U.S. beef return to normal, hopefully someday soon, then you would have access potential in China and Europe with a similar production requirement. And it would allow for, we think, tremendous growth in shipments of that, say, growth promotant-free beef or NHTC beef of that variety into these important big markets, which are both at the moment facing pretty big and different market access barriers on the quota side.
To get both of those markets, the EU and China, would be just tremendous, and wow,
exactly.
that would be exciting. But, yeah, before we get to that, though, again, we point out they're looking for hormone-free beef, right?
Right. So nothing is changing with Europe's requirements. And so, again, we maintain that we won the WTO case. We've never given up that. We've never conceded. Like, we still won the hormone case, but that's why this is a memorandum of understanding. Instead of the U.S. having retaliatory tariffs on $116.8 million worth of various European products, for the beef industry, we get more out of this by being able to ship to Europe at zero duty around $200 million worth of business. And so that was the agreement that was reached once we finally decided, you know, look, Europe is, at least at the moment, not going to drop the hormone ban, so we'd rather be able to ship product, meeting your requirements, than have no business at all. And so that's kind of the auspices of the agreement. And now that other countries are eating up our quota, this is the next step to ensure continued growth of U.S. non-hormone treated beef into the EU.
Well, I think you said it best when you laid out the steps that have to be met, and you said depending on goodwill continuing between the two sides, and we know that can change at any moment.
Exactly. That remains, I think, the biggest risk. But at the moment, the process is working, and so we certainly hope for quick movement. It's quite a critical situation. The next quarter opens at the start of October, and we expect the quarterly allocation to be utilized essentially within days. The quarterly allocation is 11,250 metric tons. And given the popularity, everyone has a race to get shipments cleared as soon as possible to ensure they can clear at zero tariffs. Because if the quota runs out, you are stuck with chilled product, either in bonded cold storage, which is expensive and obviously you lose shelf life, or you are paying a full tariff into the EU, which is tremendously high. It's 12.8% plus, on average, a €3 per kilo or specific duty. So you can imagine it's over 50%. Added tariff cost, which is completely prohibitive. So it's a race to clear product as soon as that quarter opens, and this is why it's such a challenging situation. So our chefs and retailers in Europe, you know, want access to U.S. beef consistently throughout the year and not just within, say, the first week of each quarter. And there also is just a cap on the pure volume, obviously, that can clear with the competition from the other suppliers. So it is a crazy situation at the moment, and thus we need the issue resolved as soon as possible.
Yeah, not a done deal, but at least encouraging signs of maybe moving more U.S. beef into the European Union. Aaron, thank you very much for the update.
Thanks so much, Mike.
All right, Aaron Bohr, U.S. Meat Export Federation economist. So that's certainly, we want to watch that, because if those steps can be taken and things proceed, we could be moving more beef into the European Union. Could be a key market there. A lot of baggage, though. A lot of history of problems between the U.S. and EU, especially on beef. But maybe, even though, you know, we're talking hormone-free beef, but at least a market there that may open up more to U.S. beef producers.